I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
All right, whoa.
What the fuck?
Okay. That was weird. All right, let's get started. This is episode 255 of Playtesty. If you're just listening and you're not watching, Sammy had a creepy doll in the camera and then just appeared. So yeah, episode 255, this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get started, hit the subscribe button, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts, and then subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. You can find all our episodes there on the Playtesty playlist, and then find us on the socials at Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, at Playtesty on those platforms. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. And Pat, before you got on, I mentioned it to Sammy and Joe how, like, these series, obviously, absolutely love the result. Winning 3 out of 4 is a smashing success. But these series, whether you win the series but lose the last one, or win the series and lose the last one, are the worst. They're the absolute worst because, like, I want to get on this podcast and talk about how much of a success that series was. And trust me, we're going to do it. We're going to talk about how successful taking 3 out of 4 in the Bronx with the way the Yankees were playing heading in, with the way the Red Sox were playing in, heading in, like, huge success. But, like, we're human and we're Red Sox fans and they just lost 10 minutes ago. And it's like, I want to just get on here and throw a big fucking party, but it's like they just lost. And so that's why these are my least favorite. It's like, win the series and win the last game of the series. And if you're going to lose the series, like, lose the last game of the series so we can just have that emotion and talk about it correctly. But I don't know. Even with the loss having happened, I'm still really just, it's weird because I feel wins and I feel losses. Like, I feel it all. I really ride the wave of the season. But, like, I really just am feeling the series. I'm being honest. Like, even though they just lost, I still am feeling the fact that they just won 3 out of 4.
I think that's why people enjoy listening to Playtesty. We're emotional dudes. We're Red Sox fans, professional fans, you could say. This isn't, you know, we're less analytical, buttoned up than other shows. But I'll alleviate some of that strange area, whatever you're feeling right now, Gordo. If you think back to before this series, Red Sox were arguably coming off the worst loss of the season, the Orioles loss where they didn't send Nate Eaton in his 95th percentile speed, sloppy play, frustrating, this, and that. And we all didn't feel too great about this series. On the flip side, the Yankees were hot. They were cooking. we were thinking, okay, maybe this is the real Yankees. We're scared. We're nervous as Red Sox fans. We didn't feel too good. And I think anyone who says they felt really good about this Red Sox Yankee series before it began, I don't think they're being honest if they're coming from the Red Sox side. So when this game on Sunday started, I out loud said to the people I was watching with, I will not be mad if the Red Sox lose. This is gravy. They've won 3 out of 4. I would have been cool with the split. They've already surpassed that. So yeah, annoying they lost, but how mad can I be? This was a rousing success for the Red Sox. I'm thrilled. Yeah, it could have been a little better, but come on. 3 out of 4 in the Bronx, we'll take that every time.
Yeah, Sammy, I agree. I think no matter, even if they were coming off a 10-game win streak and took 3 out of 4 in New York, you're thrilled. Never mind coming off a two-game sweep, if you want to call it that. Arguably the worst loss of the season. Pretty much not a low point in the season, but definitely not riding momentum into the Bronx. 3 out of 4 is always great, and today would have been, whatever the better version of a cherry on top is, that would have been today. So 3 out of 4, thrilled today. Obviously, you know, you hope you get a 4-game sweep, but you can't walk out of that game today and be upset about really anything. They took 3 out of 4. They're still the #1 wild card. Overall, massive, massive, massive win.
And like, you look at the way the games went. The first one, the Red Sox came in and took it. The third one, the Red Sox dominated. The last one, the Yankees had. It was their game. There was one game that was up for grabs in the series, and we'll get into that, because I want to say the Red Sox took that game, but Brian Baio took that game. And this very well could have been a split, and I don't think anyone would have been surprised with a split. You've got two good teams. I think the Red Sox are a better team, but the Yankees are playing better ball lately. You do the math, it kind of comes out to, yeah, they're probably going to split. But the Red Sox took a game that they probably, for the most part, like the offense, they barely hit the ball that day, and they won the game. So you take 3 out of 4, and you be happy with it. You're a half game ahead of the Yankees in the wild card standings. You're a game ahead of the Mariners, and you're 4 games ahead of who is it behind them? I know it's 4 games. It's the Royals, right? They won.
Yeah.
Kansas City. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, you're in a good spot, but you've got just over a month of baseball left, and you've got to make sure that you're, because they're going to make the playoffs. Barring a huge collapse, they're going to make the playoffs. To me, it remains about the home field advantage in the wild card series for a team that they played great on the road in this series, but overall this year, they've been significantly better at home. And to me, it starts right now. They don't have a day off for a while. Like, they had a day off on the 20th of August. Their next day off is on September 4th. So that's 2 weeks straight of baseball here. And you're just getting started. You got 4 games with the Orioles. You got 3 games at home with the Pirates, and then 3 games at home with the Guardians. And to me, you're a better team than the Orioles, and you're not facing Trevor Rogers this series. You're a way better team than the Pirates. You're playing them at home. You're going to get Skeens 1 game, but you should take care of business in that series. The Guardians are not playing well. You're a much better team than they are. And again, you're at home. This next 10 games right here, I'm not, like, every game matters so much, because you can really say this about any point in the schedule, but like with these 10 games, like, you've got to make sure that you exit this 10 game stretch, I'd say, at least a couple of games in front of the competition for the #1 wild card. That's my goal.
I think I have a little bit lower standards than you, Gordo. I simply, and people get on me for this, and I get it, I just want them to make the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, I will be happy. End of sentence. Period, if you will. This is such a young team, and this season, I know we had high expectations coming in. I was talking about this with some friends today. I said 89 wins, and I believe I was the lowest prediction on the podcast when I said 89 wins. Devers trade happens. Casas goes down. There's been a lot of weird... Walker Buehler has become a complete pumpkin in all different ways. Now we saw him pitch out of the bullpen today, and that was awful. So my expectations have fluctuated as the season's gone on. The point I'm at, and I've been here for a while, if they make the playoffs, I'll be happy. I think it'll be huge for the team going forward. I've comped them to the 2022 Celtics a lot, how the Celtics made it to the finals. Granted, that's not just making the playoffs, it's making it to the finals. And they got beat by the Warriors, a more experienced team with you know, championship acumen. And I think that helped them win the NBA title 2 years later. So not a perfect comparison, but I think you make the playoffs. Guys like Roman, Marcelo, even though he won't be playing, he'll be there. Narvaez, Rafael, all these young guys. I think it's valuable experience. So yeah, I'd rather them get the home field advantage. It would matter for sure. They play better at Fenway, and Fenway is a complete torture chamber for the visiting team in the playoffs. So it would be great, but I'm not going to complain. I'm not saying you are, Gordo, but I'm not going to complain if they're the second or third wild card. I think that would be, I don't know how you couldn't call that a success with all this team has been through.
And Sammy, I won't complain with it either. Like, I'm fully on board with what you're saying. If this team, and you're right, we came into the season with super high expectations, but those expectations changed when they had a rough start and then traded their best player. From that point forward, it was, okay, if they make the playoffs, regardless of what happens, we're going to look back on the season and understand it was an important stepping stone to what the bigger picture ahead is going to be. My point that I'm making is, from this point forward, the Red Sox have one of the easier remaining schedules in baseball, and you have a half game lead on the Yankees and you have a full game lead on the Mariners. And let's be honest, I personally think the Red Sox are a better team than both of those teams. So my goal for them for now forward is get that top wild card spot. Does that mean I'll be disappointed overall in the season if they make the playoffs and don't get that top wild card spot and it costs them? No, because to me, making the playoffs after what we've seen the last several years is critical. And as you said, Sammy, it's critical to the development of these kids. Even if you don't make it far, we've had this discussion, even when they were on the outside looking in, we talked about, hey, even if this team doesn't win the World Series, is making the playoffs important? So you're 100% right there, but there's no reason this team shouldn't be able to get that top wild card spot. And they should prioritize really pushing for it down the stretch. Even if you have to push guys a little bit harder than you'd want to leading into the playoffs, I really do think home field is that important.
Yeah, Gordo, I agree with you. I think the top wild card is such a big priority, just given how they play at home. And we're entering a really important phase of the schedule right now, because I would say the next 15 or so days is massive. Because they have the Orioles, Pirates, Diamondbacks, Athletics twice, and Yankees. And then the Mariners have kind of an up and down schedule. They have the Padres, Guardians, Rays, Braves, Cardinals, Angels. They end Royals, Astros, Rockies, Dodgers. So they end kind of tough. The big thing here is getting ground on the Yankees, because they have the White Sox and they have the Nationals, which they should absolutely, you know, mow through. The 12 games after that is the Astros, Tigers, Jays, and Red Sox.
Ooh.
So you absolutely need to capitalize on the Orioles, Pirates, Athletics twice. Like, you need to just tee off on this lower level competition, build enough of a lead so when you end with Rays, Detroit, Toronto, it doesn't matter as much. You can't be vying for that last wild card or, you know, tied for second and fall out of the first. Like, you need to build as much ground in the next 15 days as you can, because you have the opportunity to do it while the other teams are kind of having a rougher schedule, to give you a little bit of leeway for those last nine or so games.
Whoa, sorry, not breaking news, but the Red Sox just announced that Bernie is starting on Monday.
Oh,
and Fitz is going to be the bolt guy.
All right,
so no Kyle Harrison. Okay. Richard Fitz warmed up.
Sorry, you want to get to that later? That just popped up. Yeah. Weird. I kind of, all right, we'll get to it. Sorry, Pat, please.
No, you're good.
Talk to me.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit, because when you get to the postseason, I was talking about this with Rob on the radio on Saturday after the Sox won 12-1. We talked about when you get to the postseason and, like, how do the Red Sox stack up against some of these other elite teams in the AL? And I use that word elite. There are no elite teams in the AL. The best teams in the AL. How do the Red Sox stack up? And the first thing we were looking towards is who are these teams' top two starters? And with the Red Sox specifically, you've got Garrett Crochet. He's a top three pitcher in baseball right now. I think undisputed is Crochet, Skeens, and Skubal right now. I feel bad for Zach Wheeler. He was in the top four, but now we have no idea what he's going to look like. Those are the premier three guys. And after Crochet in this rotation, like, I think Sox fans for months this year talked about the absence of a number two starter. They've got a number two starter. Brian Bayo, when he takes the mound, and Cora said it after his start on Friday. After start on Friday, these four-game series, they really get in my head. I can't get the day straight. But after the game, he's, of course, saying, yeah, when Bayo takes the mound, it's like a crochet day. Like, we know when he's on the mound, we're going to be good. And he's not wrong. I mean, Bayo, in a game that was 0-0 the whole way, 0-0 or 1-0 Sox the entire way, and Bayo was in control the entire way. Like, and he's been doing this. Like, this is a guy who I feel more than confident in starting game two of a postseason series. It really, it gives me confidence to say that the Red Sox can really stack up against anybody, especially in that sort of wild card series where you got to win best two out of three. You're going to have Crochet and Bayo going in that series. Like, how can you not feel good? My question for you guys is Bayo like a definite sure bet number two starter at this point in your eyes?
No, not definite sure bet, but I do feel pretty confident about him in that spot. It's interesting how he's doing it too. And I want to harken back to the trade deadline. One of the guys that I liked was Andrew Abbott from the Cincinnati Reds. And people didn't really agree with me because not a huge strikeout guy. His fastball's nothing insane and nothing jumps off the page. And I get that. When you want an ace, a number one, you want that stuff. You want the strikeouts. You want Garrett Crochet. But when you're talking about a number two and a number three kind of starter, you can find value in guys like Brian Bayo. Brian Bayo is very, very low on the strikeout charts. I'm looking now, 22nd percentile, 14th percentile on whiffs, 37th percentile on chase. It's not always about that. And I feel like people need to be reminded of that because we get so, and myself included, we get so caught up in, oh, how the whiff, the chase, the how many strikeouts is this guy getting? But inducing soft contact is a skill. And Brian Bayo, when he pitched against the Yankees, masterclass in that. And yes, he got his K's. And yes, he does throw harder than someone like Andrew Abbott. But point remains, that's not his bread and butter. And the way he's been able to round out his arsenal and become a complete pitcher, it's been super impressive. Makes me feel confident about him being a number two starter. Not surefire yet, but getting there. And I think back to Alex Cora talking about Brian Bayo having a kid and how much it helped him. And you really, when you watch him and you compare what he was like, even last year, the year before, to what he's like in 2025, night and day. This just seems like a different guy. The maturity, boy, it's completely different. There's not much more to add to that. Completely different. He doesn't have the meltdowns, less pouty face, less bad body language. So, yeah, if he were starting game two in the playoffs tomorrow, I'd feel fine. I think this guy's capable. Do I think he's going to go out and give you seven shut? No. Do I think he's going to keep the Red Sox in the game? Yes, I do. So big steps this year for Brian Bayo. By the way, his ERA is 3.07. Say that again. 3.07 ERA for Brian Bayo. So right now looks like a number two starter. Super thrilled. Was that his best outing of the year? No.
Close. He had the complete game.
Right. Yeah.
But that was against Colorado. I mean, this is a bigger, much bigger spot, much tighter game.
Biggest game of the season he's pitched. So yeah, it's great to see. It's cool. We've seen him. This is basically like one of the handful of pitching prospects we've had the pleasure of following through the organization and reaching the big leagues and being successful. You don't really get many of those as a Red Sox fan from the years like 2015 to now. So yeah, feel good about Bayo. Big step in the right direction. 3.07 ERA. Thank you, Brian.
So you talked about maturity. And I get it, like the meltdowns that we've seen as recently as last year when things go wrong. Like, yes, that's a huge thing that you have not seen this year. But you talk about him not being a big strikeout guy. I really think those two things tie really tightly together. Like, this is a guy in an era of Major League Baseball where guys are chasing velocity, to which he has really good velocity. Like, he throws really hard, but they're chasing stuff, nastiness, swing and miss, all of that, whiff, chase, swing and miss in the zone, everything like that. And he's just, the best version of Brian Bayo is not those things, and that's okay. Like, what matters is the result. And when he's pitching to contact, he had two pretty inefficient innings to start that game on Friday. His pitch count was up there after the second inning, but it was anything but inefficient from that point forward because he's pitching to contact, getting ground balls. Yeah, he only had five strikeouts. That's what he does, but he kept the runs off the board, and there was never danger. And I really do think it took him a little bit to understand that the best version of himself is not that guy that's going to go out there and pitch seven, shut and strike out 10. He's not Garrett Crochet, but that doesn't mean he can't do what Garrett Crochet does. And he showed that on Friday. Pat, do you, if Sammy isn't quite sold on Bayo being a surefire number two, I'm getting there, man. I'm close. I might even be ready to declare that he is, because he's pitched like better than that this year. Where are you on that spectrum?
So I would say I'm comfortable with him starting game two. Moving forward, talking about next year, I don't think he's number two. I think he's a good to great number three. Like Sammy said, I kind of want someone who's of the Crochet mold to be in the two. Pitching to contact is great if you can limit the hard contact, soft contact, like he did the other day. That scares me in a playoff series, just because there's more traffic. The stakes are higher. Like, there's always a little bit more risk with pitching to contact pitchers. Yep. He's been phenomenal this year. This is not a knock on Brian Bayo. He has been phenomenal. He shoved the other day. This postseason, I would gladly hand the keys over for game two. Moving forward, though, I think he's a really good number three. I still think you need that definitive strikeout complementary to Crochet. But Bayo has taken such a massive step forward this year. And I go back and pull, I'll admit it, go back and pull podcasts from last year, last offseason, whenever you want. I said he was a four. I said he was, the ceiling was a low end three. I saw him as a four. If he keeps this up, obviously blows it out of the water. I do think he's a high end three, though. I don't see him as a true number two for years to come, but I am confident with him pitching a game two this year.
Pat, I don't think you're wrong with what you're saying at all. Like, it's two different conversations. Are you comfortable with him as your two right now? And do you want the Red Sox to operate like he's that moving forward? Because to me, like, if the Red Sox want to put together a World Series product, it has an ace and it has two twos. And Bayo can be one of those twos. But Brian Bayo emerging as this force in your rotation should not stop the Red Sox from pursuing upper end talent. But for this year, am I comfortable with him starting game two? I absolutely am. But in the future, yeah, like, I don't want that to stop them from going after a Joe Ryan or one of the big pitching free agents in the offseason, however they want to do it. Mm.
The thing with a guy like Garrett Crochet, if he got lit up in his next start, like badly lit up, it would not change how I feel about him. I'd say he's still an ace. If Brian Bayo went out there and pitched two innings, gave up six runs, I would be like, oh, crap. Is this going to happen the next start? Will he be able to bounce back? We've seen the maturity improve, but like, how much? That's what's holding me back from being like, yes, this is a number two starter. If he gets to the end of the season and his ERA is still like close to the twos, then there's no way I could say he's not a number two or a high quality three. But that's what's holding me back. Because if he gets lit up, I don't know how my brain would react to it.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel's Futures Day. New holiday for football fans. 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer, and whether it's MVP, Heisman, conference championship, whatever it is, do you. I mean, Jim's going all in on this is the year Nebraska gets it right. One day only, the best deals, the best odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bet now, because Futures Day is a limited time only deal. One day only on FanDuel. Play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York, or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
Question for you, Sammy. How many pitchers in Major League Baseball, not on the Red Sox, in the majors today, do you think could have a hiccup start like you just kind of talked about, two innings, six runs, and you're completely unbothered heading into the next start? Because I agree, Crochet, he had a bad start, 3 ago? And he's had back-to-back great ones since. But after that rough start, we weren't even remotely concerned. I agree with you. If Bayo had a rough start, I'd say, okay, like, let's see if he gets back on the horse here. Like, it's something to watch. I'm just trying to think of where the cutoff point is for guys where I would say, I literally am not even close to bothered. It's more than like the upper echelon ace guys.
Well, okay. I need some context with that question, because if you're asking me, like, who's a good example?
I'm going to try to pull up a list of like the better performing pitchers this year and give you a few
names. Well, it's not that. It's like, what role are we talking about? If it's Brian Bayo as a number three starter and he gets lit up, I'd say, yeah, I still think he's number three. If it's Brian Bayo as a number two starter and he gets lit up, I don't know if he's a number two. So it depends on the role. It depends on how long the guy's been in the league. Depends on what they've done in the league. Depends on if they're younger.
Sammy, it's the question is like, because with Crochet, we did not even think, okay, like, he's obviously fine. It was just one bad start. So that thought didn't even pop into our heads. How many guys in the league are there like that?
Again, I think it depends on the role we're talking about. You mean like a bad start wouldn't change how you think about them?
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at some of these starters. Like,
I think a lot, but the thing is, if you're talking about a guy who, like Mitch Keller, like a number three guy, if he gets lit up, I'm not going to be like, well, he's a four or a five now. I still think he's a number three starter.
About like as an upper echelon guy, though. Okay. Like an upper top echelon two in the rotation.
Guy, like, 10, 15 guys, maybe.
Okay, I'll read you some names. Pat, you go first.
Real quick, I think it's important to note that Bayo's track record also factors in here.
Definitely. Right. That's like, what I'm saying is like, because we've seen him spiral before. And yes, again, he's done better without, like, he's done better at not doing that this year. But yeah, Gordo, in terms of guys who are upper echelon that they could get lit up and I still would feel the same about them, it's a handful of guys. You want to rattle off some names? I'll tell you. I'll stop you if there's a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You ready?
And we're talking about one start. Like if they have one, like just one start. And we're talking like a disaster, like 2 innings, 6 runs, something like that.
I was counting while you guys were talking. I think I got to 12. There's 12 guys that it would be like unfazed by a bad start.
Yeah. So Scooble, Crochet, Skeens, Christopher Sanchez, Hunter Brown, Zach Wheeler, Nate Evaldi, Nick Pavetta.
Pavetta, there you go.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Well, okay. I'll keep going though. Yeah. There could be others. Freddy Peralta, Brian Wu, Robbie Ray, I'd probably be. Logan Webb, I wouldn't be phased. Matt Boyd, I'd probably be a little bit.
Boyd's perfect. But that's a perfect example right there.
That's Matt a good Boyd borderline.
Been in the league for a long time. He's been up, he's been down. This year, probably his best season ever. If he gets lit up, I'm all of a sudden like, I'm all of a sudden thinking like, shit, is this him regressing to the mean? That's a good way to look at it. Who do you think is going to regress to the mean? Who's a fraud? Right. Is a good way to look. Like Matt Boyd, I'm not convinced. Brian Bayo.
It's different examples. Yeah. It's different. Like the others, DeGrom, Joe Ryan, Max Fried, Yamamoto, Framber Valdez. Like none of those guys, if they have a bad start, I'm unconcerned with any of those.
No, like DeGrom has been up and down, but he would have to have a few bad ones for me to go, okay, this is one of his downturns. This is him, he's hurt or something. But it needs context. It's a good question, but there's a lot of nuance that goes into the answer.
It really is all about, have they had a year like this before? I think that's kind of where we're getting to. Because if I had said Andrew Abbott, I think we'd all be like, okay, like let's keep an eye. Because this is his first awesome, awesome year. With Brian Bayo, this is his first awesome, awesome year. With Matthew Boyd, this is his first awesome, awesome year. Bayo, he has like a 2.9 ERA this year, and next year he has a 2.9 ERA in the first half and then has a terrible start in the second half, we're probably going to be pretty unbothered about it.
It's the same way I felt about Jarren Duran in 2024. One of the best seasons in the entire league. And when it ended, I was still kind of like, he's probably not that guy long term. That was a great season. Can't take that away from him. But is he going to be that guy? And then you see 2025, still very good, but not nearly the guy in 2024.
Pat?
It's kind of like Hauk coming into this year.
Ooh, yeah. Ouch.
Like, yeah, great season last year, but it's like, we after spring training, you're like, what point are you concerned? It's the same thing with Bayo. Bayo's been phenomenal, but it's like, at what amount of bad starts or how poor of a start do you start to think, maybe he's not like that?
Like, we feel really good about Bayo right now, but he could come into spring training if his velocity's down a couple of ticks, he's letting up a bunch of runs in spring training. We're going to have the exact same emotions about him as we had about Tanner Houck going into this year.
Because it'll be like what we said about Bayo earlier. Remember, we were freaking out because his changeup was just gone, or it was like 92, and we're like, that's too fast. It's not enough separation. So yeah, Bayo, these volatile pitchers, you don't get many guys like Crochet this is the most.
That's why they're aces.
Yeah, there's not many Crochet, Scooball, Mariners pitching staff, Logan Webb, like not a lot of those guys. So it's why you gotta be thankful every time Crochet goes out there and just. We haven't even talked about Garrett Crochet with one of the best starts of any pitcher this year. So
yeah, I mean we can get into that. I mean I don't even really know what else there is to say besides he's a surefire full blown ace. 11 Ks against the Yankees, walks off the mound. Him and Giolito like looking at each other just laughing because there's just nothing else to even say. Like he doesn't like there's no like let's go like no easy. it's just laughter. Like
Yankees didn't even elicit an emotion from Crochet. Here's what we'll do, because there's not much to say about Garrett Crochet. I'm just going to read you his stat line at this point of the season. End of August, this is a guy who people were like, I don't know if he's a starter. He's only had a half a good season. Here you go. 14 wins in 26 starts. That leads the American League. He's got a 2.38 ERA. He has 166.1 innings, leads the American League. 207 strikeouts, leads the American League. He's faced 664 batters, the most in the American League. His FIP is 2.57, so what he's doing is legit. He's not getting lucky. And his ERA plus is 172. So he's 72% better than your average. And by the way, here's maybe the craziest stat. I didn't even read this. 42 walks all year. 42 walks. So this is the guy the Red Sox traded for and extended. There's really not, like, what do you even add to that? He's fucking amazing. And we're lucky enough to get to watch him every 5 days.
Go back to the innings thing, too. I mean, you talked about it, Sammy. He the entire second half of last season, he's going 4 innings to start max. Mm-hmm. And this year, not only is he being asked to carry the load for a full season, but he's being asked to lead the American League in innings. They've tried to give him, they've cut him short on a start. They've pushed him back to the point where they practically skipped him on a start. And he's still leading the American League in innings because he's being asked to do so much and he's taking it in stride. Like, he's just, you look at the video of him in his rookie year with the White Sox and you compare it to video of him now. And he's basically the size of two crochets from his rookie season. And that's why he's not having an issue right now making it through the season, because he's a horse. Like, he's fully built for this.
Yeah, he looks like a starting pitcher, and people were questioning, is he? If you look at Brian Bello, not to harp on Brian Bello or go back to him, but he's 6'1", 195. Like, if you have questions about him holding up, I get it. He's been good up until this point at staying healthy, knock on wood, but he's not a big dude. Garrett Crochet, if you were to draw a picture of what you think a starting pitcher would be, it would be Garrett Crochet. So, yeah, this is, like I said, we just need to, you know, take it for what it is, be happy we're lucky enough to get to watch him every 4-5 days, excuse me. And, you know, I mean, he's in his prime right now, you could argue, and it's awesome to watch every single friggin' time. And again, when he does have a bad start, we're like, oh, whatever, he'll bounce back. And he does every time. He has never not bounced back. Knock on wood. Here's the sound.
Yeah.
Did that get picked up by the mic? Okay.
It did. I heard it.
So the truth is, it's not my fault.
We talked about Garrett Crochet so many times before they made the trade to get him. And one of the reasons we were so in on this is because you could see with the stuff what this guy could do. But the difference between a Garrett Crochet and any of the free agent starting pitchers was that Crochet, like, you could see it as a negative that he's never pitched a full season. We saw it as a positive, because it's so many of these guys, they sign these big deals and it's like you're signing like a Corbin Burns. You sign that guy and it's his elbows hanging on by, you don't know it, but his elbow's hanging on by a thread and he blows out in the first season that he has. We'll see how long Max Fried is effective for in his contract with the Yankees. And it can be said about any free agent pitcher contract. Whereas Garrett Crochet, he just struck out his 500th career batter. Like, that's all he's at, because he just has so few innings and wear and tear on that arm. It's like, you're going to get this guy. Like, this isn't going to be like a contract. You extend Garrett Crochet and you do it to get the first 2 years. Like, there's a real chance that he's this dude for the duration of it, because it's basically like you're getting Crochet on his rookie's first 6 years in the majors.
Right. He's 5 years younger than Max Fried, Corbin Burns. He's 26. He just turned 26 this year. Yeah. And Max Fried, by the way, it's a good comparison, because those were the rumors where the Red Sox wanted Fried. And then he goes to the Yankees, and then shortly after, they trade for Crochet. Max Fried is at well over 1,000 innings for his career, 1,040 roughly. And Crochet, he's been great.
Wait, you said 1,040?
Yeah, Crochet's at about like half of that, right?
385, even less.
So not even close to half. And then meanwhile, Max Fried, like, great pitcher, three-time All-Star, won the World Series, has a Silver Slugger, okay? Also a three-time Gold Glover. I'm finding out all these things about Max Fried.
He was making some plays on the field.
He was good pickoff move too, but that's why we all, like, credit to us, like, yeah, we would have been thrilled with Max Fried to the Red Sox, but the upside on Crochet is you don't get the opportunity. And in the year before, we were talking, you don't get the opportunity to get a guy like Yamamoto when he's 25. Lucky enough, the next year, the Red Sox arguably get an even better option, 25-year-old Garrett Crochet. And here we are, waxing poetic about how good he is every 5 days. Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. And if we're talking offseason acquisitions, I mean, another one we could talk about is Aroldis Chapman, who has not allowed a hit in now over a month because he didn't pitch in Sunday Night Baseball. But
Bad signing, dude. I called it. Bad signing. Like I said at the day of bad signing, I called it. Told you.
I mean, the eighth and ninth innings for this team, and obviously you know, going into this year, Justin Slayton was supposed to be probably that eighth inning guy. It was supposed to be like, okay, you've got Chapman who you should be able to trust, Slayton who you should be able to trust, Whitlock who we think we'll be able to trust, and maybe Hendricks, like we want to think we'll be able to trust him, but we'll see. And really what it's become
Gordo, wait, real quick, before you go on, sorry to interrupt.
You're good.
Full honesty from the three of us. Did any of us even float the idea of Chapman being the closer for the Red Sox? Because I surely didn't. I didn't like the signing at all. I don't think anyone wanted it. We were like,
we didn't want it. No one wanted it.
I don't think any of the three or Joe floated that he could be the closer. And I remember the podcast when he was named the closer. None of us liked it. We were like,
yeah, no,
that's it.
Well, it's because they didn't have lefties in the bullpen. Like, we didn't think Justin Wilson was going to be any good. They didn't have Steven Matz at the time. All they had was Bernardino. And if Chapman's the closer, it's like, okay, one of Bernardino or Justin Wilson has to step up and be that lefty specialist. And wouldn't you have it, Justin Wilson stepped up. Justin Wilson became that lefty specialist for you guys. But the truth is, like, your eighth and ninth innings, and like Justin Slayton's going to get back into this mix, and we'll see where we get with him and what version of him you're going to get. Obviously, he's looked good in his minor league outings, but this is the majors and it's going to be different. But he's been amazing his whole career. So I have a lot of confidence in him. But regardless of what he does, Garrett Whitlock in his last 20 games has an 0.51 ERA. Aroldis Chapman hasn't allowed a hit in over a month. 12 straight outings. He has not allowed a hit
in a month.
So you're eighth and ninth. Like, this is why I have a lot of, and like, again, we're coming off a loss right now, and I'm just gushing about this team. But you've got that 1-2 punch in the rotation. You've got the 1-2 punch in the bullpen. Like, when it gets to the eighth inning, Garrett Whitlock comes in and he slams the door. When it gets to the ninth inning, Aroldis Chapman comes in and he slams the door. You feel great about what you have there. And it's just, we've seen Red Sox teams where you don't have that. And the Red Sox have been able to win a ton of games where they're leading after the eighth inning this year because they have those guys.
And more, the more I think about it, I really, really would like to see the Red Sox add Peyton Tolle to the bullpen. Really would like that. That strikeout guy, doesn't matter lefty or righty, he gets both. That just seems like a young playoff arm that you put in the bullpen. Not as a starter. I'm not saying as a starter, just saying purely as reliever, because I know he's on a pitch count. That would be so cool. And the jolt of energy, think about that too for the bullpen. I agree with you, Gordo. Eighth and ninth inning, I feel great. But the other guys, they're not bad. I just don't feel... Like, I feel good when Bernardino's pitching. I feel good when Justin Wilson's pitching. Jordan Hicks, not so much. Other guy, Weissert, I feel fine. But there's nobody else aside for those two guys right now. Slayton's not back yet, so I won't include him. It would just be really, really nice to add a guy like Peyton Tolle. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I think that that kid could really supply a boost to the bullpen.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the bullpen is once Slayton is back and healthy, once you get to the postseason, you're able to shorten a game to six innings because I'm that confident in Slayton, Whitlock, Chapman. That being said, if you do not get at least five innings out of your start in the postseason, it gets dicey with how the bullpen's constructed right now. Because then you're trying to piece together two innings of Weissert, Wilson, Hicks, Buehler, Matz. But mind you, like in a playoff series, like guys are going to need like downtime. Like it's going to be really, it's a pretty narrow avenue to try to navigate to get to those back three because those back three are so good. And like it's even riskier too because let's say game two, Bayo goes four innings. Then you kind of piece together five and six. Do you go Whitlock for seven and eight? Sure. Then you get Chapman. Whitlock's down the next day. Like, there's all of this kind of rollover from game to game that it's going to be difficult to manage. That being said, I think you absolutely need a Tolle, or if Harrison takes the five spot, fits back there. I don't want Rocker Buehler on the postseason roster, period. Never mind pitching in any innings. But that's something you're going to have to try and navigate, is find what avenue they want to pick to get you to that back end, especially once the postseason rolls around.
If you guys had to guess, and I agree, it's a different conversation. Like I agree, if whoever they start in the postseason gives you 3 2/3, do you feel confident piecing that game together? And the Red Sox bullpen has done that quite a few times this year. But I agree, like there's some of these teams that have some crazy high octane arms that can, like what we saw with the Padres when Mike King went two innings. Like what we saw from them that game, no, you're not getting that from the Red Sox. But on the other side, on the flip side of that, the Red Sox have the best bullpen ERA in the AL, at least entering Sunday. And presumably they had it by a good margin. So it is a good bullpen, and there are ways to take it a step forward. You add Slayton back into the mix. Tolley, I agree, definitely needs to be in the mix. But the more, I mean, I know that he's on a pitch count here, and I know that they're trying to keep his innings down, and that like the plan is to wind him down. I mean, five innings, one hit, and nine Ks with no walks gets my attention. For, I mean, you're gunning for a playoff spot. If he goes out there and he does that again, like I'm sorry, like do that in the majors. Like it sounds crazy, but if he's that dominant again, he's clearly better than whatever else you're going to be able to trot out there.
What was the line? Can you say the line again?
Five innings, one hit, one run, no walks, nine Ks.
Yeah.
So like if he does that again, it's like okay, like I get it. He's on a pitch count, but you're also trying to win a World Series here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. You see the strikeout he got on the violation. That was great. Yeah, the fist pump. Yeah. Hey, dude, ooh. Another good sense of humor guy on the Red Sox would be nice. This clubhouse, by the way, like we're very fortunate to be able to kind of, you know, we're not in the clubhouse all the time, but we get to interact with these guys. Great senses of humor on this team. I think that matters so much. I think that is so just to keep, like, I went to the Mariners game. I'm in Seattle today. Those guys are the same way, just cracking jokes all the time, loose. So, you know, I think Tolley and his sense of humor, his Tom Selleck, Don Fry mustache would fit the vibe. Yeah, dude, if you're listening and you know who Don Fry is, we should be friends. We'd all be friends. Oh, here's the fist pump if you're watching on YouTube.
Dude, it's so Napoleon Dynamite coded.
Yes. The thing is, jealous. with the way they're going
to
approach
hot girls online
all day,
with how they're going about the number five starter, because they just came out with the report, or I think Cora said it, or I don't know. We're recording the podcast, so I haven't really gotten a chance to read what was said. But Bernie's going to open on, if you're listening on drop day, Bernie's opening today, and then Fitz is probably going to be the bulk guy. To me, I want to see Richard Fitz try to be one of those high octane arms out of the bullpen. Go an inning, go two innings, see what you can get out of him in that role. Because I've always seen him like, yeah, I want him to try to put it together as a starting pitcher long term, because I think he can have success as a mid rotation starter, and you'll take a mid rotation starter over a high octane reliever. But for right now, how can he best help the team right now? I think you can get similar results, whether it be Richard Fitz, Kyle Harrison, even Peyton Tolley, out of the starting rotation. But a guy like Richard Fitz out of the bullpen, I think, is something that you like, because Kyle Harrison's a left-handed pitcher. Richard Fitz is a right-handed pitcher, and you've struggled from the right-hand side. Obviously, you're getting Slayton back. But I'd love to see him in that role, and I think there's avenues for them to try it. But the things that are standing in the way, really, it's Walker Buehler's roster spot that's standing in the way of that.
True. Yeah. God, that's an annoying puzzle that the Red Sox will have to deal with. Gordo, when you say Fitz out of the bullpen, do you mean like come in for an inning, or do you mean throw three innings? I think either would work, but I just want to know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm open to, because they're going to need a mop-up guy for if they're up or down by a lot. But to me, I want to see what he can do in one or two innings. Because okay. I think you'll see him throwing 100 miles an hour. I don't think he struggles as you get to like the third time in the order. First time through, he's dominant.
No, I think he would be good out of the bullpen. I agree with you. I just wanted to know which role. And I think we're going to get the bulk role on Monday, drop day as you're listening, because as I rudely interrupted earlier in the podcast, Bernardino is starting against the Orioles. That kind of makes sense to me with Holiday and Gunner at the top of their lineup, two lefties, kind of ease Richard Fitz in. And plus, then he doesn't have to see those guys a second time quickly once the lineup turns over. His first time seeing them will be the second time through the lineup. So I actually don't hate that role. I know people want to throw up when they think about openers, but like the numbers.
No, it makes sense here.
It makes sense. And it's worked in the past. The Dodgers won the World Series with an, or they didn't win the World Series with an opener, but they played a World Series game with the opener, and that team won the World Series. So I don't think it's as bad as people think if you're not doing it every 5 days, especially now we got a month left in the regular season. They're mixing in a guy like Bernardino for one inning to start off a game to ease someone like Richard Fitz in, who's been good in the past earlier this year and last year, but has struggled lately. I think it makes sense, not only in a it helps you win the game way, but in a this is good for our young arm kind of way.
Also, all their best players are lefties. And if they put those guys at the top of the lineup, you give those to Bernie, and then you let Fitz kind of clean up on the bottom, and he faces those guys two, maybe three times instead of the lefties at the top.
Who do they have? Westberg? Is he hurt still? I know he got dinged up.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with him, but you've got Gunner, who's a lefty, Kowser, who's a lefty, Basayo, who's a lefty. Kowser. Jackson Holliday's a lefty, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So like all these guys, it's like, yeah, give those.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Bernie. Give those to Bernie.
Nope. Westberg's hurt.
Westberg's hurt.
That sucks. Catch a break. Yeah, righty-wise, it's Colby Mayonnaise and Ryan Mountcastle, which is not exactly striking fear. Dylan Beaver is also a lefty.
But that's like why I was so down with Kyle Harrison making the start. And I get why they're not doing it, because if you send Richard Fitz down, because that's what they would be doing here, because there doesn't seem like they're going to DFA Buehler. So now you're starting a 15-day clock. Unless someone gets hurt, like, you can't bring Richard Fitz back up for 15 days. So it does.
Fat, dude. Richard Fat? The fuck, dude?
Are you, dude?
He's not
canceled.
Fat.
I'm dead.
Yeah, my thing with Harrison, it's not like lefty-righty for me, although I do think that's relevant. But my reason is just like, if you're walking guys at a Walker-Buehler rate, I think he'll be a lot better than that. I just don't know if now is the time. And I want them to be careful with Kyle Harrison, because this is like, it's not only a big piece for your future and maybe present, but it's also optics wise. This is the big piece you got from the Rafael Devers trade. And breaking news, the other pieces you got, one is on the Dodgers now, James Tibbs, and the other fucking sucks in Jordan Hicks. So yeah, tread lightly with Kyle Harrison is all I'm saying.
Yeah, so, No, real quick. I agree with the whole Harrison thing. Like, that is one that he's gone up and down enough in San Francisco. I would so much rather just him get a feel for Worcester, get a feel for the new whole new pitch arsenal, and then this winter go into the lab, refine things, and then come to spring training totally fresh, equal opportunity kind of thing. I think if you bump him up now and he's not sharp consistently, you run the risk of like really, really like fucking him up long term. And it's not worth it.
So before we get to Nuff Said, I'm looking through the roster right now. So the Red Sox this week are going to have three guys return. You're going to have Justin Slayton, Willy Abreu, Rob Refsnyder return. I think the Abreu Refsnyder guys that they're going to send down are pretty straightforward. I think it's going to be Nate Eaton. I think it's going to be the Password. Shout out to the Password making his debut this weekend. Sucks he didn't get a hit. I don't know exactly which day during the Orioles series you're going to see guys return, but I do know they've got a Cade Povich game in there. So,
ooh, that's a good matchup for him. He could handle that.
Yeah. So that's hopefully,
by the way, tough debut. Max Fried and then Carlos Rodon. Oh, they're lefties, though. Good
luck.
Welcome
to the show.
Yeah. And you're in Yankee Stadium. That's rough. But yeah, he got on base twice.
Got on base, yeah. And had a squirrel run up his leg, which was fascinating.
I thought they were leaning into that too much. That wasn't that funny. They're like,
we'll talk about it enough said because I want to get back to that.
Oh, okay. All right.
But who's going down for Slayton? Like, I'll read you the pitchers on the roster right now. Bayo, Bernardino, Bueller, Chapman, Crochet, Fitz, Giolito, Hicks, Matz, May, Weiser, Whitlock, Wilson.
DFA Bueller.
I think that has to, like, it has to be. Because if Fitz is going to start, then he's your fifth starter. If he's your bulk guy, he's your fifth starter. If Fitz is going down, it has to be for another starter. He can't go down for a reliever.
Yeah, I was going to say they could just send Fitz down, but they don't really have like off days coming up. And if you don't have them for about 2 weeks after that, that's rough. I mean, if they do a Fitz Bueller, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. It's just weird. Like, I don't know. But like, people always say, if you DFA a veteran like Bueller, it's a bad look for the franchise. How the fuck
who
you
cares?
Argue that? He's been so bad.
They said it on Sunday Night Baseball tonight. This time of year, you cannot worry about feelings. You are chasing wins.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be that's what I would advocate for. That's what I hope they do. If not that, then maybe Bernie again. They send him back down.
He's going back. He's about to go back-to-back days. It could be maybe.
Yeah.
That would be bullshit, though. Say.
Yeah,
that would be bullshit.
Crap. Also, he has stirrups bullshit. Now. He has stirrups, which is sick.
And he's Bernie good. Would... He's good. He doesn't let him run.
Yeah, he had his vacation. His arm isn't pulled pork anymore. It's back. It's rebuilt itself. So I hope they cut ties with Bueller. Like I've said before, glad they waited him out. It's not working. The time to win.
Pat?
Well, I think the other thing, too, is so let's say Fitz slides into the five, Slayton's back, whatever. If it's not Bueller, and this is my sound logic as to why it should be Bueller, for bulk innings out of the bullpen, which Bueller presumably gives you, realistically, who do you feel more confident in right now? Chris Murphy or Walker Bueller?
Chris Murphy.
Comfortably, right? If, let's say, Fitz stays back there, who do you feel more comfortable in the fifth spot, Kyle Harrison or Walker Bueller?
Kyle Harrison.
Probably, yeah, that's tough. I guess Harrison by a little bit. The only thing, like, Bueller has had good starts this year. He's been awful overall, but he's shown good starts. So it's close, but I guess Harrison by a smidge.
Yeah. My point being, there's enough guys who are not in the majors or could be sent to the minors to make room for Slayton. If you keep Walker Bueller past the Slayton edition, you're strictly doing it out of either respect or you don't want to just give the money away DFA him, which is ridiculous because at this point in the year, you cannot do that. We talked about it last episode. Every game moving forward, you have to put yourself in the best position possible to win. I would argue that there's no position right now where Walker Bueller goes in a game and you're doing that.
Well, here's an example. Walker Bueller led up the 2-run homer to the Yankees in the eighth today. If the Red Sox scored 3 in the ninth, how would you have felt about that?
Livid.
People wanted to cut Jordan Hicks's head off when the Red Sox lost a game when Hicks, I think, came in when they were down, 5? And he let up a couple runs and they ended up marching almost all the way back. And it was the Astros, I think. They wanted to kill the guy.
Yeah.
You don't need – Pat, you made a great point. If you have guys go down or underperform and you need bulk, it's there. If you have guys go down or underperform and you need a starter, it's there. Like, you don't need this guy. He would just be taking up space.
Also, the respect was keeping him until now. The respect was already shown. He's one of the been one of the worst pitchers in Major League Baseball.
They gave him tons and tons and tons and tons of time. We had conversations about removing him from the rotation like 7 or 8 starts before they actually did it. Like
2 months ago.
The respect
ago. Yeah,
has been shown.
Yeah, and we agreed. We mostly agreed. We were like, yeah, think about it, but you know, this is Walker Buehler. Let's see if he figures it out. At this point, it's like, dude, there's a month left in the season, a month and change. In the playoffs, because they're going to make the playoffs.
Not gonna win. All right, let's do enough said before we get out of here. I already hinted at mine, so I'll go first. I'm shocked and appalled that we did not figure out what ended up happening to the squirrel.
He's dead.
Like, we saw that thing hanging on the inside of the fence. That was the craziest camera shot I'd ever seen in my life. I was blown away. And then they didn't show it again, which leads me to believe he might be dead, which is insane. They cannot kill that thing. It's a cult hero. It's a rally cry. It's a squirrel.
Like, it was a squirrel. They would have showed the ending of the story if he wasn't dead. He's dead.
Do you think they killed him, or do you think that he got zapped on the sign?
No, I think they euthanized him. I think they probably killed him. Yeah.
Oh.
Or they tranquilized him and threw him into Central Park. He's dead for sure. But I thought that was so like, it was like watching an animal be tortured. And they kept going back. I was like, all right, yeah, it was funny for a second. Now I feel bad for the fucking thing. And he's going to die for sure.
He's getting famous. Come on.
He gets in the scoreboard. I'm like, oh, he's either going to get electrocuted to death right here, or they're going to euthanize him off camera. And I think they went with the latter. And then I love the next night, Lou is talking about, he's like, yeah, I think he's good. I bet the squirrel's good.
He's like, you don't think that.
Lou in his head is like, that thing is so dead, like shockingly dead. More dead than anything's ever been dead, that squirrel. Rest in peace.
If it's dead, blame the Yankees.
Yankees are animal murderers. Yeah. Oh, and this is a PETA-supported show, so
it's true. It
show
is.
Them that we're doing our job.
Oh, God.
That thing died in an arm barn. It did. It died in the arm barn.
Painful.
Rest in peace. All right, who's got enough said?
I'll go. I don't want to end because mine is non-Red Sox, but I am in Washington right now. Went to a Mariners game, and I know the Mariners are chasing the Red Sox, so I wasn't you know cheering like crazy for this, but I did get to see baseball history. Cal Raleigh tying the record for most home runs in a season by a catcher, and then the next at bat breaking the record for most home runs by a catcher. He's at 49 right now, which is absurd. He's the odds on MVP. There's no close second. No close second. Not even a close second at all. Hmm. Especially not Aaron Judge. So, it was just cool seeing baseball history. I know the playoff chase and everything, but, you know, in the moment, it was nice to see. And it was, those balls were smoked. He's very good. So, historic. I really hope he wins MVP. He's having the best season by a player at his position ever. That's all. Just saying. No close second.
Shout out to the A's for winning the game the night before. That was important.
Yeah, thanks for that.
I appreciate that.
Like, quietly, like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank let's you. Go. I'm in Mariners territory, but
yes.
Thank you. Look at there. Like, yeah, let's go. Everywhere. Let's go. It's everywhere.
There it is. He's got the hat. All right, Pat, you got enough said before we get out of here?
Yeah. I want to shout out Lou Maloney because he had two separate games that there was either a clip from Nesson or a clip from radio that were just full-blown fucking phenomenal, dude. It was the build-up to the Roman home run in game one, and him and Will Fleming are joking like, oh, it's man on scoring position, and then Lou is like, oh, guy on second, maybe they'll score because the bases aren't loaded. The ball hits Roman's bat, and you can hear Lou over the mic just go, oh, and the ball goes out. It is the funniest shit ever. Then the next day, I think,
yes,
either the next day or Saturday, they go to turn two, flip the ball to Jazz. The ball is not out of Jazz's hand, and you hear Lou go, nope. And it is 30 feet.
Oh, that was Volpe, right? Yes. Or did he do it twice?
No, it was Jazz. No, that was Jazz.
Oh. Okay.
There were a few bad Yankee throws in the series. It's understandable to get it together.
I was gonna follow you up because I like the one. It wasn't a double play. It was Volpe went down to a knee with Hamilton running.
Here we go.
And he throws the ball, and Lou just goes, nope.
This is the first one.
Scoring position. Oh, love to just, at least it's not bases loaded. It's just a man on second. Maybe we can get him in.
Pitch. Roman drives one. High! And deep!
There it is.
And gone!
No! That's Dude, great.
It's so good. But
I'll tell you, nothing better, nothing better than a color commentator making like a non-word sound when something happens. Like I think back to like the Mookie Grand Slam in 18 and Ek as the ball's in the air. Yay! Like those, like anything. Yeah. And it has to be natural. Like you can't fake it. It's got to be the big moments and it only comes out in the big moments, but that's why it's great.
You know what? It was a great, just because you mentioned Ek, a great thing that Ek used to do. Here's the nope. Wait, hold on.
Going into tomorrow. Hot shot up the middle. Nope.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. You're right. Nope. It was Volpe.
Yeah. But back to Ek. Man, I miss him. But when he was calling a game and somebody on the Red Sox hit a home run, and the second the ball hits the bat, Ek would go, got him. Like the ball's like an inch off the bat at this point. Got him. Just great. Just great. And I agree, Gordo. It does have to be natural. You can't like pre-plan that shit or it's cringe.
Yeah. And there was really, I loved Ek so much. I wish he would like castig it and just come back for like a couple of games a year. It would be so good. And it's nothing against the guys. Like I love Merlone and I love.
Pathetic is what it is.
Yeah. Like he was the best.
They should make Lou full time on either like radio or TV. Just give him one spot full time where he's there every day. I think he's my fave.
It's tough because like I love Lou and I love Will. Like they're both so good at it. And like I like that it's like I know they've had Millar filter in kind of like I guess just whenever they're in Texas. But like those two dudes being the color guy, like you're in a good spot. Like it's not really it doesn't feel like a revolving door. It's one or the other. And they're both so good at it. Like they both want the team to win. That's what's so important.
Will and Will is a good combo for radio. And then you have Dave and Lou. But then also you have Mike Monaco. Oh, we just make Monaco the full-time TV guy, you know.
I like Will, and Joe.
Will, and Joe. What I meant. Will, and Joe. Brooksy. I forgot you call him Will Middlebrooks Brooksy.
Yeah. My best friend, Brooksy.
Who?
My homie, Romy. Romy, my
Up
homie.
Up until Monday, right, Joe? Brooksy thought you were AI, yes?
Yeah, yes. When we were on the field last Tuesday at Jimmy Fun. Because he had accused me of being AI because we've never met in person. And we finally met in person while we were at Fenway. And I said, look, I'm real. And he said, as real as it gets.
There you have
it. Joe Braverman.
Let it be said. Let it be done. All right. That's going to do it. We got to wrap. That's episode 255 of Play Tessie. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel where you can subscribe there as well. Got the Play Tessie playlist there. You can hit the thumbs up on all our videos. We'd really appreciate it. And then we're at Play Tessie on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, this is Gordo following Sox taking 3 out of 4 from the Yankees. We don't really need to talk about the last game. We just took 3 out of 4. Got a big 4-game set with Baltimore. Every game's big from here on out. Let's go Sox. Get that first wild card game at home. That whole series. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.